You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
But welcome to our series on big faith. You know, why big faith? Because we have a big God. And just welcome to all those who are watching online with us this morning. And my prayer is that every single one of us will receive encouragement in our walk of faith. And even now, I just declare an activation over our spirit and our faith right now, that our faith will come alive, that it will grow, that it will be stretched, and it will grow, it will be stretched, and it will grow. And as we enter into big faith, because we have a big God and He has so much more for us. What do I mean by that? The fact is, today we're looking at the life of Jacob, but not just as a study of his life, but having a personal encounter and a personal dialogue and interaction with him. So what do I mean by that? I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad I asked that question too. But Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 2 from the New Living Testament. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. If there's ever a story written, there has to be a start. There has to be an ending. And Jesus is the start and the ending and everything in between. He takes us along that journey with Him to see our faith grow and our knowing Him so much greater. Last week we had the grand finals, and some of you may be quite glad that it's over, but others not so glad. But as we watch that, you know, you see all the people cheering and shouting for their team. And they said there were around 100,000 or more people there. Just an amazing atmosphere of people there wanting their team to win. And every now and again, a few people just said, "Good one." A few minutes later, someone says, "That was a really good pass." No way. They were on their feet shouting. They were on their feet screaming. Every time their team got a goal, they'd be all standing up and shouting, "You can do it. We can win this game." Every time they did a good pass or a mark, they'd be on their feet again. "Come on. You can do it. We can win the game." You know, when they interviewed one of the players after the match, they said to him, "What was it like coming out onto the ground with such a huge crowd?" He said, "It was absolutely amazing." He said, "I couldn't even hear myself think. The noise was so loud. People were just shouting. They were on their feet. They were cheering. I couldn't hear myself think. In fact, every time we tried to say to one of the other players, you know, get over that way a bit or go there. I want to kick the ball that way. They couldn't even hear what we were saying. The noise was so loud. But right now we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses, of cheering saints this morning. Come on, you can do it. We had the same challenges, the same opposition. We had the same temptations that you are facing even right now at this moment. Yes, we didn't always do it the right way. Sometimes we even failed. But we got up again and turned our focus back to our God and His word and continued on in faith." You know, after the celebrations of the winning team, they didn't just go home, forget about it. They continued celebrating. The ones who lost, yes, they were incredibly disappointed, but it was just amazing to hear the coach come out probably about a week later, and he said, We may have lost this one, but we are coming back next year, even greater and even stronger. And you know, we as Christians, we have this same opportunity to stand up and shout and praise God, as we've been doing even this morning, that our faith can rise again no matter what has taken place over these past few weeks. And we need to stand up and cheer one another on. We need to stand up and shout. We don't just say, oh, good on you. That was good. No, come on, let's say that was fantastic. You made a run then. You were able to get over that obstacle. You were able to get through that place. And now we can just excitedly cheer one another on. Let's do it. Let's give it our all, encouraging and strengthening one another. Yeah. So what then is big faith? Big faith is the leaning of your entire human personality, your mind, your will, your emotions on Jesus Christ. Colossians 1-4, it says, "For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus," which is what? The leaning of your entire personality on Him. In absolute trust and confidence in His power, not our power. His wisdom, not our wisdom. His goodness, not our goodness. And of the love which you have heard, as shown to all the saints, God's consecrated ones. You know, faith is totally relying on and keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ and allowing His love to flow through us in everything we do and say. So the question is, what do you think that Jacob would say to us if he were here right now, if he was preaching this word? What would he say? He would give us so many things to encourage us with. In Genesis 25:22-23, just a little bit of background to understand where Jacob was coming from. He was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, grandson to Abraham and Sarah. You know, great men and women of faith. Just think, if that was your heritage, such incredible acts of faith, their walk of faith. And yet we all have to have our own journey. He couldn't take Abraham's faith. He couldn't take Isaac's faith or their mother's faith. They had to do their own journey of faith. And we know in the story that Jacob missed it quite a few times. So do we. But he always got back on track to fulfill what God had placed on his life. Men and women of great faith. And when Rebecca was pregnant with twins, it felt like there was a struggling going inside of her. And she asked the Lord, "Why is this happening?" How many times have we asked that very same question? What is going on? Why am I struggling? You know, I'm a Christian. I love God. I have the Holy Spirit living within me. I have a reasonable amount of knowledge of the Word of God. Why do I struggle? Why do I find it so hard to break through at times? And these are great questions that we need to ask. And like Rebecca, she went to God. She asked Him the question, "What is going on? Why is this struggling going in my life?" And this is what He replied. He said, "There are two nations in your womb." How'd you like that, ladies? There are two nations in your womb, and one will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. And this was a specific prophecy on Jacob's life. And when it was time for the twins to be born, Esau came first, but then Jacob grabbed hold of his heel and pulled him. And so they named him Jacob, which means supplanter or trickster. Supplanter, that's an interesting word. It means to trip up or to overthrow. And this is what Jacob tried to do to take the birthright away from his brother Esau. It rightfully belonged to the eldest child. To trip up means to cause us to stumble and to put us off balance. And isn't what the enemy does? He tries to trip us up. When we step out in faith, he kind of puts his foot out and tries to trip us up or get us off balance so we're not sure what we're doing. And to overthrow, it means to bring down, to defeat, to push out of the way, to displace, to remove you from your place of power by force. Just think about that for a moment. This is exactly what the enemy does. He doesn't want you to take territory. He doesn't want you to rise up in large faith, bigger faith, trusting God in every step. He doesn't want you to be an influence in this city. He doesn't want you to walk in your prophetic word or your inheritance in Christ. So he'll try whatever he can to maneuver you this way and that way and to take you away from the power that you have, because the Holy Spirit is the power who lives and dwells within you. What is faith again? It's the entire leaning of our whole human personality, our mind, our will, our emotions on Jesus Christ. The question we need to ask ourselves this morning, not in a condemnatory way, but as an encouragement, how much leaning am I doing? How much leaning am I doing? And I think that's something we can all ponder perhaps over the next few days or so. Just ask the Holy Spirit, how much leaning am I doing? What perhaps am I holding back this way? I need to lean my whole trust on him. You know, the interesting thing is that God had already revealed his plan for Jacob through the prophecy, and yet he still felt that he had to do it his way, his time, and his strength. His mother, I'm sure, and father would have told him the prophetic word that was over his life. And yet he still felt he had to try and trick his brother out of it, to steal it from this way or do it that way. And sometimes we can do the same, maybe not quite so dramatically, but we do like to manoeuvre things. We do like to manoeuvre situations for our own advantage. But doing this caused so much stress and heartache on his family. He had to run away from his family, his brother, because he was going to kill him, or he thought he was going to kill him. But, you know, does this sound familiar? You know, it's really the old, old story of wanting to do it our own way and taking control of every situation. You know, when you've been going through a hard time, perhaps you have started to take control over situations. Someone might just say to you, how's it been going for you? How's it been going for you since you've been taking the control back? And if we're honest, we'd have to just sit back and say, well, really, it's not really going that well. And I think Jesus would ask us this question, why do you find it so hard to trust me? You know, why do you find it so hard to trust me? And, you know, I can still remember so clearly, and I've shared this before, that when the Holy Spirit spoke that word to me, why do you find it so hard to trust me? And in our human efforts, we say, well, we try to justify ourselves. Well, that's easy because you're not speaking. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. It's not in my timing. And what is one of the key words in there? Me, I, me, I, me, I. And it was my perception of the situation. You know, our perception of the situation is not always the reality. We perceive a situation because our emotions, our mind is all involved. And that's why we have to lean on him more and more. We can say that. We can say, but that's just human nature to take control. That's true. But whose nature do we have now that we belong to God? Whose nature and is now living within you? Whose nature do we have to draw upon? Not our own old nature, which has been crucified with Christ, and now I live in him. So we need to lean upon him. And that's another great question to ponder, which I'll answer a little later in this message. And I believe Jacob would say two specific things to us. Firstly, stop trying to do it yourself, what God has already planned for you, and let God outwork that in your life. Secondly, the importance of having an encounter with God and really knowing your identity, who you really are, who you belong to through those encounters. You know, the truth is, God is not controlling as we see control, but he is releasing faith and blessing to walk in all that he has planned for your life and my life. But to do that, he needs us what? To lean our whole human personality on him, because it's his wisdom, his strength, his life living through us. I think too that Jacob would say to us this morning, let God have control in your life. He would say to us, I learnt the hard way, but if I can share anything with you, it's let God have the control in your life. Okay, so how does faith really work practically? Actually, it's quite simple in one way, but very difficult in another. It's one step at a time. I remember probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I saw this story about an eagle with its little eaglets on the National Geographic program. And as we know, eagles are amazing creatures and we can learn a lot from them. And this particular story showed the mother eagle when she was teaching her babies how to fly. And I know that we can relate some of those things to how the Holy Spirit will teach us how to grow in faith. You know, the eagle's nest is really right. They put their nest right up high into the mountain and into a craggy, inaccessible place. And the mother knew that it was time for them to leave the nest. And so this is what she did. She would begin to take out the nice, soft down and let the outside, some of the prickles and things, start to come through. And this made them feel very uncomfortable. But have you ever felt that uncomfortable feeling in your spirit? You just have that feeling that there's something not right. Your spirit feels a bit agitated or unsettled. And you begin to think, have I done something wrong? Have I sinned or have I offended the Holy Spirit? But could it be that really what is taking place is the Holy Spirit is stirring the nest in your life to step into something new, to step out into a new situation, to step out in the gift that God has placed in your life, or to step out into new levels in the gifts and callings that God has in your life, to be a part of the church, to become involved, to take steps, to be someone that really greets people, encourages people, strengthens people, shares your faith with people along the way, taking you to a new level in some areas of your life. Could it be that is what the Holy Spirit is causing you to feel, that uncomfortable feeling inside of you? Then she began to push them out of the nest, and the poor little eaglets began to flutter and flap and begin to fall. She would let them go for a while, and then she would swoop down under them, pick them up, and put them back in the nest. And she would do that to each one of them in turn. And as they began to grow stronger and stronger, it was time they could fly on their own. Their wings were now strong enough to carry them. The funny thing is that there was one of the little eaglets who did not want to leave the nest. Anyone here like that little eaglet does not want to leave the nest? But every time the mother would push him out, he would just flap and flutter and somehow be able to grasp hold of the nest, pull himself back in. You know, he could see all of his siblings, if you want to call them that, fluttering around and flying and now growing stronger and able to soar. But he just wanted to stay in the comfort of his nest. And finally, the mother, as all mothers do, out. It's time to go. I said to our son Daniel, you're not staying past 30. He wouldn't like me to say that, would he? But she knew it was time for him to go. And so she gave him an almighty push, and this time he couldn't get back into the nest. And of course he fluttered and he flapped his wings and went down and down and down. Mother came up behind him, swooped him up and put him back in the nest. And soon he was out with his brothers and sisters, flying with them. Now his wings were stronger. And that's what faith is, that when we step out, our strength is strengthened. Our weaknesses become stronger. Those things that we've struggled with now seem, what was I so worried about? Why didn't I step out sooner? And we're just like those eagles, that now we can soar with other eagles. You know, to step out in faith and leave the comfort of what we know and what is familiar is not always easy. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just push us out, stand back and say, Let's see how they go. How far can they fall? Oh, no, look, that one splat on the ground. Oh, what a shame. No, the Holy Spirit is with us the whole way. He's the one who swoops down and lifts us up when we're struggling. He's the one who comes alongside and says, come on, you can do it. You can push through. You can do it because I am living in you. And that is my heart's desire for every one of my children to soar like the eagles. You know, there is no way that we can grow in strength without leaving the nest, unfortunately. There is no way we can grow in faith without leaving the nest. So what is taking place when we begin to step out into the unknown? You know, when eagles mature, they have incredible eyesight. You know, they can be up so high in the sky, they can look down and see the smallest thing on the ground. And isn't that what we want? As we grow in faith, our eyesight into the spirit realm, our eyesight into wisdom, our eyesight into knowledge, our eyesight into the Word of God, the eyesight of the Holy Spirit looking through us to be able to encourage and strengthen people. They have incredible strength to soar effortlessly. You know, they know how to catch those thermal currents. They are there, they're just waiting for that wind to rise. And then all of a sudden they take off. And they're not like this going through the air, flap, flap, but they just soar. And isn't that what we want in our life? We just want to be able to soar with the Holy Spirit, what He's saying and what He's doing. And we can see from His perspective. You know, the Word says that we have been made to sit with Him in heavenly places with Christ. That's where we're seated. And when we're up there soaring, we can look down on the problem. Oh, is that all it is? Is that what was taking place? And we can see it now from God's perspective. Those things are happening as our faith is being challenged and we get out of the nest and begin to fly. You know, it begins an incredible cycle of learning and growing. And as we grow, we can then begin to teach others how to fly. When we were babies, we need to be fed. But as we grow, we feed ourselves. And then we become mothers and fathers to the new babies in Christ, teaching them how to step out in faith, to grow and to mature as we become more and more like Jesus. He's such a good God, isn't he? Some years ago, my mum had a friend who had had a really bad accident. Her and her husband, they had a vintage car and they loved to go out driving. And this day they went out, they were on the highway and just going along, and she was just leaning on the side of the door but didn't realise the catch hadn't quite caught. And so as they were going, the car door flew open and she fell out and sustained some really bad injuries. So then began the painful recovery. She had to have physio regularly, and the person who was her therapist at first was so gentle. And she thought, well, this is really nice. It's very comfortable. But after a while she began to think, but even though it's comfortable and it's not hurting that much, I'm actually not getting any better. And so she decided to change therapists. Well, this time she had someone the exact opposite. And this time it was really pulling and pushing and pulling things back into its place. She actually dreaded having to go to the sessions. But after some time of going through that, she realised, hey, I'm getting stronger. Hey, my muscles are getting stronger. I'm able to walk. And after some time, she was able to walk again and live life as she had wanted to. And I believe Jacob would say to us this morning as well, it does hurt sometimes to step out in faith. It does take effort to step out, but it's well worth it. To live life in freedom and liberty, to walk and talk with the Lord, to be able to share our faith with others, it's well worth it. And Jacob would also say to us, it's so important to have an encounter with God. A new level of faith and trust rising up. You know, over the years we have encounters with God. It is during those times that He is revealing and depositing something new into our spirit and our walk. He's causing us to take new steps of faith, but this time with a new identity, a new level of knowing who we are in Christ and what he has called us to be. You know, when Jacob went through the difficult times that he'd left his home and gone to a new land, you know, things did not go as he thought they would. In fact, what he had done actually came back onto him. And he was tricked at different times and things taken from him. And finally, I guess we could say, perhaps he came to his senses in a sense, that he said, I think it's time that we're going to go back home. I need to make things right with my family. And so he packed up with his family and they went on their journey. And this is the time when Jacob had a most incredible encounter with God. He had had a few encounters before, but this time something completely changed in his life. He wrestled with God and he said, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And sometimes we have to come to that point where we say, I am not going to let go of you, God, until I break through this situation, until I grow stronger, that I'm able to have that confidence in you to step out into new things. And so as he was journeying, he had that encounter with God, and that's where his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Now the father of nations, no longer the schemer, no longer the one trying to do it in his own way, taking the control for himself. Now he was ready to do it God's way. What an important lesson that is for us to learn. You know, how are we going to step out into new areas of faith if we don't have the confidence in who we are in Christ and who he is in us? You know, what will happen when our faith is challenged and we don't know how to stand on his word? And these are great questions that we need to have answers for. D.L. Moody, a great man of faith, he said this quote. He said, I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in Romans 10, now faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study faith, and it has been growing ever since. You know, it would be wonderful if we could just have faith like that. We have a situation, bolt of lightning comes. Wow, I've got my faith now. I'm ready to go. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that. In fact, it takes diligence, it takes perseverance, it takes time, and it takes effort for the word of God to really get into our spirit. Hearing, 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 hearing the word of God. Speaking out the word until it's cemented into our spirit. Then when something comes up, we are ready. We are strong because the spirit of God, the word of God, is alive and vibrant in our life, that we can combat the discouragement and things that come our way. Our son, Danny, who still lives in Adelaide, for those of you who don't know, he had this incredible thing happen. It was quite weird, actually. He rang me up and said, you'll never guess what happened to me today. And when he told me, I thought, no, I would never have guessed. Not in a million years. He said he was walking home from work one day, and he had to cross over this really large oval area to go to the bus. And as he's walking along to catch the bus, he could hear someone right back further sort of calling out. But he thought, oh, there's no one standing, there's no one here, can't be me. So he just kept on walking. Then he could hear this person coming up closer and closer and saying, stop, stop, stop. And he's like, what's going on? And so he kind of turned around and stopped. And it was the security guard from where he worked. And so he was saying, stop, I told you to stop. You know you are not allowed on this property. And Daniel said, well, I work here. Of course I can be here. And the security guard says, no, you are not. In fact, if you don't stop and get off this property now, I'm calling the police. And Daniel was like, you know, well, what's going on? My name is Danny Ward. He says, no, your name is not Danny Ward. You are such and such. He said, but I am Danny. This is who I am. I know who I am. And the security guard was, no, you're not. So Daniel said, well, I'll get my card out. So he went into his bag to get the security card. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I think he thought I was going to get a gun out or something and shoot him, or a knife or something. So he said, here's my card. This is my name and this is where I work. And so the security guard looked at that. He looked at Daniel. He looked at that. He looked at Daniel. Oh, so you are Danny Ward. He said, that's what I've been telling you all along. He said, oh, well, you must have a double somewhere because you look exactly like this person that is not allowed on this property. I think he thought, gee, thanks. But, you know, that's what we have to be like when the enemy comes to try and say, you are not, you think you're a Christian. You think you can do that. You think you can step out in faith. You think that you can go here or do that. You think that God is going to help you. We have to have that same understanding and knowledge. I know who I am. I know whose I belong to, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in me. We have to be sure of whose we are, that when those things come up, we can stand there and say, I know, I know, I know, I know, because the Word of God tells me. I've had encounters with the living God. He has spoken into my life, and I know who I am, and He knows who I am. So back off, enemy. Don't touch me. I'm a child of God. He's got a plan for our life, and He will not want us to allow the enemy to steal, to kill and destroy what God has spoken over our life, what He's planned over our life from the very beginning of time. He will not take us off from our place of standing, of power in the Holy Spirit. There are two important things we need to do to feed our faith and stand our ground. The first thing is to remember who God is and what God has done for you in the past. In Psalm 103, verse 2. It says, bless affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, my mind, my will and my emotions. And forget not one of all of His benefits. What does it emphasize and why does it emphasize forget not all of His benefits? Because God knows we do forget. You know, it's incredible how we can forget so easily what God has done for us in the past. To feed our faith and not our fears, we have to continually remember what and who God is and the times that He has brought us through in the past. You know, you would think that it would just come naturally, but for some reason or other, we tend to forget when we're faced with a new challenge or a new situation. Somehow all those things that God has done in the past kind of fly out the window, so to speak. But we have to continually bring back to our remembrance the past victories that God has brought us through, the things that He's done in our life, our family's life, the things and situations that He's touched in our hearts and our lives. Continually rehearse the good things that God has done in our lives. Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great Bible teacher, he said this, most of your unhappiness comes from listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself. What an incredible statement that is. Most of your unhappiness comes from listening to yourself rather than talking to yourself. Listening is passive, but talking is active. Speaking the Word of God, who you are in Christ. Holy Spirit, you are the one living and dwelling in me. As I said, reciting those past victories, going over them, the times that He's sustained you, the times He's strengthened you, the times that He has spoken that word that was just at the right time into your life. Another thing is to get positive information about the situation and never make rash decisions when you're discouraged and confronted with a new challenge. Discouragement happens in life, but only remains where it is entertained. Again, another incredible quote. Discouragement happens in life, but only remains where it is entertained. And that's something that we really have to get into our heart and our mind. Don't entertain those negative things. Don't entertain those fears that say you can't step out, you won't make it, you won't be able to do that. But instead, keep rehearsing the Word of God. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. In Psalm 103, verse 2, it says, "Bless affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, mind, will and emotions." Every now and again, when you're really feeling on top, no, it says at all times. Praising God, feed your faith, because God is good. He is faithful and always pouring out His blessings, whether we feel it or not. Whether we feel it or not, He is always pouring out His blessings upon us. Praising God turns your attention off yourself and onto God. Such positive things. And I love what Pastor Phil said a few weeks ago. You know, fact versus truth. The facts say you're sick in body, but the truth says, I am the Lord that heals you. You know, the facts may say, I don't have enough finances, but the Word of God says that I will supply liberally when you're in need, out of my riches in glory, not out of yours. You know, when you're looking for a job, the facts are, it's hard to find a job. But the truth says that I am your provider, that I will always look after you. And as we continue in strengthening our faith, as we continue growing our faith, let us keep on keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and on whom our faith depends from start to finish. I would just like everyone just to close your eyes for a moment. You know, I believe that some people have felt let down in the past. When you've tried to step out in faith and things didn't really work out or happen the way you thought. And perhaps you've retreated back into that comfortable zone. But today, it's a new day. And the Holy Spirit is stirring you afresh. And even though you may feel like the lady I spoke about before when she changed therapist, it hurt. It wasn't comfortable. But she began to walk again and live again, free of pain. And even as I've been speaking this morning, you're thinking, I just don't know if I can do it again. All I can think of is the pain of past situations. But at the same time, I want to be whole. The truth is, it may be painful. But Holy Spirit is there to walk with you through the pain and into wholeness. I know it will take courage to step out, but I can tell you truthfully from my own life and many other people here that it is well worth it. You know, if you have felt that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning, that there are those areas that you've kind of retreated back into, that if you would just raise your hand and signify that to me, and I would love to pray with you right now. And there will be a time afterwards that if you want personal prayer, that there will be someone here down the front that will be able to come and pray with you. And even if you're watching online, that you just want to pray this prayer as well and be prayed over, then we would love you to join in as well. And if you would like me to just pray a prayer now, and if you just lift up your hand and say, I want to step out of my pain. I want to step out of those times when I've felt too afraid to step out. And I will just pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I just thank you and praise you. Lord, I just pray for every single person here this morning, particularly those that have felt that stirring of the Holy Spirit, that Lord God, that you will just touch them by your strength and your spirit. That, Lord God, that they will sense your incredible love. They will sense your incredible strength. They will sense that healing power just flowing over them and washing them afresh. Lord, I just pray every single blessing upon every single person here this morning. That, Father God, as they begin to gain that confidence to step out afresh, that, Lord, they will know you walking with them. Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Precious name
this morning, Jesus. You know, maybe Maybe you're here today and you've heard people talk about faith, and you've heard people talk about Jesus and Him being our hope. You know, this morning, there is but one way to know Jesus and have His hope, is to accept Him as Lord and Savior of your life, to accept His forgiveness and walk in a personal relationship with Him. It says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's why Jesus went to the cross for you, so that you can be saved. And so if you're in this place this morning, you don't know Him, don't have a personal relationship with Him, I want to invite you this morning to take that step, to know Him personally. If that's you this morning, is there anyone here who's like, I don't know Jesus personally, but I want to know Him personally? If that's you, can I just invite you, with everyone's eyes closed, can you just lift up your hand? Once you put up your hand, you can put it back down. Is there anyone this morning say, yeah, I need to make a decision to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord? Is there anyone this morning who would say, yeah, I need to do that? This is what I'd love us to do this morning, just with the eyes still closed. And maybe you've put your hand up and I haven't seen it, or maybe you're like, oh, I'm a bit worried about putting my hand up. Let's be honest this morning, it's not about your hand. It's about your heart this morning. And so this is what I would love us to do as a church. The church is going to pray a prayer together, accepting Jesus into our heart. If you haven't prayed this before, you or you're in a place where you're like, I need to get myself back in a place with God, pray this prayer with us this morning. Why don't we pray? Lord Jesus, I thank You that You died on a cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Forgive me, God. Forgive me of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that You died on a cross, was buried, and rose again. I accept You into my heart, Jesus. Live with me all the days of my life. I choose to follow You. Amen. Awesome. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe you've prayed it before, I would encourage you, come and speak to me after the service. I'll be down the front here. I want to encourage you in what happens next. As you're walking out, there's also some pamphlets out there with your first steps, what happens now. But for all of us this morning, what a powerful message. So much in that message. That message captures every single one of us at whatever stage of the journey we're on. You know, maybe you're in a place where you're trying to trick your way through life to get ahead. It's okay. You don't have to stay there. Jacob was there and he didn't stay there either. Maybe you're in a place where you're living in fear of past decisions that you've made, and you feel like those past decisions are running you down every day, chasing after you. It's okay, you don't have to stay there. Jacob didn't stay there either. Maybe you're in a place where you've stepped into the fullness, you've wrestled with God, you've had the encounter and the exchange, and you are running in the blessing that God has for you. What a powerful moment, but there's more for you as well. Regardless of where you are at in your journey of faith, regardless of where you are at in your journey of following Jesus, there is a place for you this morning to encounter and wrestle with God freshly. He wants to bless you. He wants His hand to come and be placed upon you this morning for an impartation, for an exchange, the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe you're in this place and you're like, I've stepped out in faith before, but when I did, everything broke loose like it was a crazy zone. The world came against me. This happened in my family. This happened in my workplace. Health issues in my own life and my family's life. It just exploded out of control. Can I encourage you? You stepped out into the storm, but Jesus is with you.